Hello, this is Mike Burick, your host and producer of Kanitsa, The Well, a podcast series about interesting and noteworthy Ukrainians from around the globe. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Our guest for this episode is Larissa Babi, who is a writer, author, dancer, and translator. Welcome, Larissa. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Mike. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us today. So, to start off with, can you talk a bit about your educational and professional background?
Sure. I did my bachelor's education in the United States, where I grew up at Barnard College. And I also have a master's degree from Kyiv Mohyla Academy in cultural studies. And professionally, I have always been very much involved in Ukraine's contemporary culture. I've been working for a translator for close to 2 decades, maybe a little bit more. And as a translator, I started getting involved with Ukrainian contemporary artists, I guess, in the latter half of the 2000s. And over the years, I've spent a lot of time working in the arts as a translator, as a critic, as an exhibition organizer and an event organizer, as an activist. Something that's characteristic about Ukraine is that, especially since I've been there, I arrived in 2005, Ukraine is constantly in the process of kind of establishing, institutional networks. And so anyone who wants to do something publicly, you end up kind of having to do create the conditions also in which to present your work. So I've been involved in all of that. More recently, I am the author of a book called A Kind of Refugee: The Story of an American Who Refused to Leave Ukraine. And it was just published yesterday was the official publication date. It was published in the Ukrainian Voices series by Ibidem Press. And these are personal writings, which I have been writing on Substack since March of 2022, just following Russia's full-scale invasion, in which I write in English for an international audience about what is happening in Ukraine during wartime from a very my own personal perspective, which sometimes offers insights into daily life that you won't hear in the news stories.
Larissa, I know that you are a Ukrainian American. You were born in Connecticut. Was it your parents or your grandparents who came from Ukraine?
So, I am of the post-World War II Ukrainian diaspora. All four of my grandparents were born in Ukraine, in the western region called Halychyna. Two of them come from very small villages, and they were taken by the Nazis to work in Germany during the war, World War II, when they were teenagers. Two of them were, you could say, part of the Ukrainian patriotic intelligentsia, and they fled Ukraine under threat of murder by Polish insurgents. All four of my grandparents, although not all of them knew each other at the time, they all left in 1943. So sometimes I say that's kind of where I began. And my parents, they were each born in Europe shortly after the end of the war. And then they came with their parents to the United States as children. And my parents met at a Ukrainian diaspora New Year's dance in the 70s.
So, what was life like growing up in the Ukrainian community in Connecticut?
Really immersed in Ukrainian culture as a kid in suburban Connecticut. I went to Ukrainian Saturday school. We went with our family to church every Sunday. I was active in the Plast Scouting Organization. I was really into Ukrainian folk dancing. So my heritage, it was a great gift. It was also a little bit of a burden in the sense that it set me apart from my American neighbors, and the fact that we spoke Ukrainian at home and we celebrated holidays according to Ukrainian custom. Some people, other kids my age, sometimes looked at me funny, or it almost felt a little bit alienating at times. By the time I got to high school and I had made friends with other Ukrainian Americans of my generation, we kind of bonded over that fact that we had this strange other world, Ukraine related that we belonged to. And I was definitely always interested in Ukrainian folk arts, music, culinary traditions.
And when and why did you decide to go live in Ukraine?
So you could say by the time I was finishing high school, I became aware of the fact that I had this great patriotic love toward Ukraine, which at that point was a completely imaginary country I had constructed from, the feelings I had from folk songs, from spending time with my grandparents, from their food and their customs. And I really knew next to nothing about the actual present day country, Ukraine, which exists halfway around the world. And it took me some time to get up the courage to actually get there. I moved there for the first time in 2005, and basically out of curiosity to get a sense of the real place that is my ancestral homeland.
Please describe your experience in Ukraine, living during the Russian invasion.
Well, here, to be brief, I would encourage you, Mike, and all of your listeners to read my book, A Kind of Refugee, because it is precisely a chronicle of the first year following Russia's full-scale invasion, where I talk about the things that I went through, the things that I did, the ways that I changed, in the midst of full-scale war in Ukraine. I was living in Kyiv on February 24th in my own apartment, and the first thing that I did was run westward with a handful of friends and our cats. And the only thing that was on my mind was to avoid encountering the approaching Russian troops. I did not want to leave Ukraine completely. So when I ended up in Lviv and found a place to stay and found that it was, safe enough, I basically settled down there. I started volunteering with some old friends of mine who were bringing medical supplies into the country or raising money to buy medical supplies, but mostly we had to buy them abroad, and then distributing them to places around Ukraine where, hospitals had depleted supplies and sending some out toward frontline units. One of the things that has been very important throughout all of this period of time, given that I am an American citizen, kind of bicultural, bicontinental, I speak English natively, is maintaining a communication with people outside of Ukraine. Very important for me to be able to talk about what I'm seeing and to provide firsthand accounts of life in Ukraine. It's always, living in a war zone is always more complicated than what you would imagine if the only thing that you see is the news.
So to backtrack a bit, what motivated you to write a book about your experiences in Ukraine?
Well, the book, you could say, it was almost like it came out by itself. What happened is, starting February 24th, 2022, and in the following days, I started getting messages from, not only friends and family, but like anyone who had ever met me in my entire life and knew that I was Ukrainian. They were asking if I was safe. They were, asking what was going on. And I realized really quickly that, given that I was just fighting for my survival and trying to, orient myself in a world that was completely turned upside down, and I didn't know what was going to happen next, replying to hundreds of messages personally was just not something that I had time to do. So it made sense to start sending like mass emails where I could address a lot of people, let them know that I was still alive, and also share what was happening to me. Because again, I mean, if you remember, now we've sort of gotten used to the fact that there's a war going on in Ukraine. But in February and March, and even into the spring and the early summer of 2022, nobody had any idea what was going on. It was hard to know what was happening on the ground because you had a whole Russian propaganda machine that was happening, that was, actively working on global fronts. And again, I wanted these little details of what I see and I smell and I sense to be available to people living abroad. And the other thing is that because everything was changing and so unpredictable, like I could see already that there was a value in keeping a record of this experience, because I knew that like whatever's going to happen tomorrow is going to change me again, and I'll soon forget what happened yesterday. And so having that written record, immediately it seemed like an important thing to do. So I was publishing all of this online on Substack. I continue to report on Substack. It's called A Kind of Refugee 2022.substack.com. And after about a year, I went and looked at what I had written over the course of 2022, and I saw like this is a story. This we could make this a book. I submitted it to the Ukrainian Voices series. It was accepted. And it was also important for me to get this book out into the world soon, because I knew that the war would still be ongoing and obviously attention flags, and it's important to keep thinking about Ukraine, to keep thinking about Ukraine's defensive fight and the fact that we need to defeat Russia until we do.
Larissa, you mentioned before that your book has now been published. Is there an official website for it?
So you can, if you go on my Substack, A Kind of Refugee 2022.substack.com, you will find a tab that says Book Tour 2024. And there you can have a link. There's a link to the book. It's being distributed in North America by Columbia University Press. So you can order the book online. And there you can also find all of the dates of my public presentations, which I have scheduled and confirmed so far, primarily Connecticut, New York, New Jersey. And I would love to see any of you at a public presentation, and tell you more about the book and read from it.
So we're just about out of time, but I wanted to get some idea of where you're living now in Ukraine and what is daily life like there with the Russian invasion continuing?
I'm living in Kyiv, in my own apartment, and I've been living in Kyiv since 2005. And I'm very lucky that my apartment building and my neighborhood have been unscathed over the past 2 years. In Kyiv, there are air raid alarms practically every day, sometimes multiple air raid alarms per day. Not every air raid alarm means that Russian missiles and drones will strike Kyiv, but you never know when they will and when they won't until after they've struck. It is always a possibility. And we live within that constant chance of being hit by a Russian missile. What I actually do in my day-to-day is kind of similar to what I've been doing for years and decades. I'm translating, I write about the things that interest me, I organize public events, but all of these things are somehow or other related to supporting Ukraine's war effort. So I find myself translating for foreign volunteers who are bringing vehicles that they're donating to the armed forces of Ukraine. I translate the poetry of poets who were killed before reaching the age of 40, fighting Russian forces on Ukrainian land. I write about my daily life in a country at war. And of course, I'm organizing this book tour to bring my own experience of living in Ukraine at war to you in America.
Larissa, what have been the major challenges for you living in Ukraine during the Russian invasion?
So, probably the biggest challenge for me living in Ukraine as an American citizen is really the insufficiency of American and Western support for Ukraine, and helping Ukraine militarily to defeat Russia on the battlefield and to secure its territory and protect its people as a country. I am watching and feeling my Ukrainian friends be killed and be taken into the army to serve. And Ukrainians are giving their lives. And to know that my country, America, has incredible military capacity, even in the capacity of deterrence, you know, we could do very precise things in order to show Russia that it is not okay to invade another country and keep going. I wish that Americans would do their part in taking this war that Russia has unleashed in Ukraine seriously. And I remind all of my fellow Americans that the outcome of this war is in your power.
Larissa, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Krenitsia today.
It is my great pleasure. Thank you, Mike, for having me on the show.
I have been speaking with Larissa Babee, writer, author, dancer, and translator, and her new book will be coming out shortly, A Kind of Refugee. And this is Mike Burek, your host for Krenitsia. This episode has been produced for The Ukrainian Weekly, a newspaper published in English for the global Ukrainian community since 1933. Until next time, that's all for now.